Thank you, Brother Carter, for a very appropriate song.
Amen.
Our second speaker tonight is Elder Ron Spurgeon. He's the pastor at Fairview Missionary Baptist Church in Woodburn, and we're thankful to have him here tonight, and I want to ask you also to give him your attention and pray for him tonight as he stands before us and brings his lesson. Consider Brother Ron a dear friend. Had the privilege of being in service with him when he told about the Lord saving him, and never have forgotten that. And so I want to welcome him at this time and introduce him in that way. Bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Miller. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church and allowing me to come this year to teach in this lesson. I appreciate everyone that's here tonight and would ask you to pray for us, that the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart concerning the theme and that the church has selected for us to teach on tonight. Okay. Go ahead, brother. My subject tonight is Jonah in the Whale, Christ in the Earth, Old Testament Teachings of the Resurrection. The theme of this is the Old Testament foreshadowing of Christ and His church and their fulfillment. Now, these foreshadowings are actual events pointing to the New Testament, but Jesus is the real deal. I'd like to take one verse of Scripture for a text tonight that will be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The theological doctrine of the resurrection may be the summit and most significant prophetic sign known to the human race since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. The resurrection of Jesus Christ provides the means to make clear the passage of sinful man through the valley of the shadow of death and secures the anchored soul of the redeemed to eternal life. The Hebrew scriptures, including the account of Jonah in the whale, emphatically declare future resurrections. The goal of my lesson is to cast brighter light upon the everlasting foreshadow of Christ concerning the first resurrection as we look at 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. And they that also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now, we mentioned that this was the summit of our most significant prophetic sign to the human race, but is also the foundation of our faith, as we'll find out here in just a moment. Now let's look at Jonah in the well. If you have your Bibles, we'd like to turn to Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, and we'll read down, starting with the second chapter, and read down from verse 1 to 10. And it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. In chapter 2, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. That they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." With the mistakes we've made, that's reading from the 1 Jonah chapter 17 and going to the second chapter and reading verses 1 through 10 tonight as we get into this subject. Now, we'd like to look at some sequences of events from the entering into the whale and to the Exodus, the foreshadowed teachings of Christ's resurrection. The first thing that we'd like to notice is I think that Jonah, in those 10 verses that he was in that fish's belly, was praying. And, you know, there's only 10 verses of scripture there, but he was in there 3 days and 3 nights. And I believe that he agonized for 3 days and 3 nights until he got relief. I really do. But the first thing we want to look at tonight is the first comparison that is found in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. The first thing we recognize is that there's a man overboard, and he swallowed up for 3 days and 3 nights, where never a man stayed and lived to tell it, in the belly of a whale. Now, when we look at Jesus, he was swallowed up in Joseph's tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. John 19:38-42 and Acts 1:1-4, you can read that for more information on that as well. The second thing we want to notice tonight in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1, that he prayed his way out of trouble. You see, the resurrection of the just, they pray out of trouble. We that have been saved by God's grace, that's what we had to do. We had to pray our way out of trouble. Jonah prayed his way out of trouble. And the resurrection of the just have to pray out of trouble. And the resurrection of the unjust, they're going to fail. You know, there's going to be a resurrection of both. And if you look at John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it tells us of both resurrections, or the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, Jesus, he prayed himself into trouble. Jonah prayed himself out of trouble. Jesus prayed himself into trouble. You say, what do you mean? When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark 14:32-52, he was in deep trouble. After Brother Holland's lesson tonight, we know why he was in deep trouble. There was some mental anguish. There were some things that he really dreaded getting into as a human being. 100% man, 100% God. Now, in the second verse of this same second chapter of the book of Jonah and verse 3, they're kind of tied together. And we start to get into the details of Jonah's prayer from hell, which is Hebrew Sheol. And he's praying there, and he's praying very earnestly. And and if we look at Matthew 26:30-46, and especially verse 42, we'll find the prayer of Jesus and the details of Jesus as he prayed before he died. And in both prayers, you're going to see something very similar. Up until this point, Jonah was not obedient to what God wanted him to do. In fact, he was running from God. But in the prayer of Jonah from the whale, And from Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's something very common, and it's obedience. They were obedient. How do you know that? Jesus said, "Thy will be done," as he was praying to the Father. He was obedient to the death of the cross, knowing that he was going to be resurrected after that. But both of them were praying, and they were in obedience. And they know that they were heard. Both of them knew that the Father heard them. And if you look at the next verse, it even says that. The Lord heard Jonah's voice, and he lived to tell it. Not only that, but God heard Jesus' voice. And it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In Matthew 27 and 46. You see, and he allowed him to die for all mankind. God heard those prayers of both men. Now, in the fourth verse, you've heard the expression, "out of sight, out of mind." Well, that may work, but not with God. God knew exactly where Jonah was and what his mission was. He also knew his disobedience. We look here, we see that it might be out of sight, but he's not out of mind. And not only that, but Jonah sees the holy temple from inside a fish. And I was reminded, as he saw the holy temple, I believe that his prayer was just like the prayer that the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and 16. He went to the throne of grace. And as he prayed there, he prayed for mercy and help in a time of need. Now, you get swallowed up by a fish, you're going to be praying a prayer like that too, aren't you? That's what Jonah was praying. He was in hell. He was in the depths of the sea. The Bible says that God allowed that fish to take him to the depths of the sea, in the heart of the earth. Now, as we look a little bit further with this, I also notice concerning Jesus that although the chief priest, the elders, the scribes, and the Pharisees attempted to put Christ out of sight and out of the minds of the common folk of his day, Paul explained to King Agrippa the resurrection of Christ and how that it was not done in a corner. Jesus showed himself alive even to Saul of Tarsus. And I believe it's the same place Jonah was fleeing to as well. The spelling's a little bit different, and somebody can confirm that a little later. But if you read Matthew 28, 11 through 15, and Paul's account to Agrippa, and Acts 26, 1 through 32, you're going to see what I'm talking about concerning how that this thing, that this resurrection was not done in a corner that Jesus did. Now, in the fifth verse of the second chapter of the book of Jonah, we notice something else. The temporary grave clothes. Jonah was wrapped up in seaweed around the head. Maybe it was to help him breathe. But I also want you to know this, that God was helping him. God sustained his life while he was in there, so he could tell all of these things that happened and transpired while he was in this fish. Now, Jonah was wrapped up in seaweed around the head, and Jesus only used his clothes for 3 days and three nights as well. For we see, the Bible says, "Then arose Peter, and he ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass," in Luke 24 and 12. Now, I imagine Jonah was really happy to get rid of them weeds around his head after being in there for 3 days and three nights. Now, the ultimate reality is brought about by the resurrection. And in the sixth verse, we're going to see it start to unfold. You see, God, in this sixth verse, God will bring the lowest humble servants out of a life of corruption. But you see, Jesus is a little bit different. You see, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2 and 9. But made of himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross Philippians 2, 7 and 8. The humble Jesus paved the way for us to quicken our mortal bodies, and he proved this by his resurrection. And I'm glad he did. Jonah was very humbled in this state that he was in. And in the seventh verse, we find that, alas, my prayer has entered the Lord's holy temple. Jonah got his prayer through, and he knew that he got his prayer through. Could this have been after 3 days of agonizing prayer by Jonah? I believe it was. In the comparison that we get from Jesus, Jesus rammed the bitter cup of sin right into the holy temple. How do we know that? And when he did, the scriptures state, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That veil that was in Jerusalem. From the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Matthew 27, 51, 53. Now, folks, that's power. The same power that sustained the life of Jonah while he was in that well is the same power that brought Jesus Christ out of the resurrected state from the dead out of Joseph's borrowed tomb. You see, his death, the death of Jesus, unlocked the door of the resurrection. His power unlocked the door of death when he came forth. Now, in the eighth verse, we know that he heard the prayer because this is the heart of the prayer. Jonah said God had recognized that those who pay regard to useless and worthless idols forsake their own mercy and loving kindness, according to the Amplified Bible. You see, when he was in there praying, he forsook the mercy that God was extended to him when he was told to go and do what he was told to do. But he went a different way. You see, our carnal being, the wise man said, vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, Ecclesiastes 2 and 1. Yet the human side of Christ was sacrificed, buried, and resurrected for our justification for the vanities of life and eternal life in particular. Now, in this ninth verse of Jonah, Jonah 2 and 9, there's four parts to it. First of all, we notice the sacrifice, the voice of thanksgiving, the vow payment, and the salvation is of the Lord, all in that one verse of Scripture. Now, when we compare it to Jesus, the sacrifice, he is the ultimate sacrifice. In fact, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1 and 29. You see, he died for our sin to overcome sin by the resurrection of himself. When we look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, Brother Danny read some of that just a little while ago. He read verse 8, but I want you to notice what it says here. It says, but God commended his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the resurrection brought life to every one of us and made it possible for each and every one of us to have eternal life after this life is over by this sacrifice that was offered of Jesus Christ. Jonah recognized that sacrifice. And because of that, he went into a voice of thanksgiving. For we see that when he went into this voice of thanksgiving, he thanked God for the second chance. He was given a second chance. He was allowed to go into Nineveh and preach to that great city. And he knew that he was given that second chance when the whale vomited or resurrected him out on the shore. So he began to have a voice of thanksgiving. In the scriptures concerning Jesus, and it is saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him, in Mark 16 and 6. And I believe this tonight, we all, every one of us, should be thankful for the resurrection of Christ. The vow payment. What did Jonah promise to pay God? What have you and I promised to pay God? The Apostle Paul admonishes us to dedicate our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Bury the sins and resurrect a life in Christ in Romans 12 and 1. The sacrifice, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ paved the way for the human race to live forever. And then Jonah recognizes that the salvation, all salvation, the Savior, Jesus Christ, it is the Lord. Then, now, and in eternity. And finally, the 10th verse. In Jonah 2 and 10, we notice the omnipotent voice of God spoke to his creation, the whale. And it resurrected a Jonah on the shore. And he must have literally hit the ground running to Nineveh. A 3-day journey in one day. Jesus proved his voice that he has power over death. When at the tomb of Lazarus, prior to his own resurrection, he said, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go, in John 11, 43 through 44. Now that's the account of Jonah. Now I'd like to open up some more foreshadowing, if I might, concerning what took place there. Now we still have a question by many people, many scholars. In fact, I've got a quotation here that I've written in the outline. And it's the question of the theological myth or fact of the Jonah account. Here's one textbook's view of that I studied while I was at the university over here when I was going to school. And this is what it says, and I quote, the book of Jonah is quite unlike any other book of the 12 prophetic books. In canonical order, they are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. In fact, quite unlike any other book in the Hebrew Bible. For one thing, it is a tale about a prophet rather than a collection of utterances by him. No one really knows for sure when it was written or where. And then, of course, there's the business of a fish swallowing the prophet, who survives and is vomited on the shore. This is so wild, could it really have happened? The main character in the book of Jonah, translated, a dove. He is attested as a real figure by 2 Kings 14 and 25. And if you go back and you read verses 23 through 27, it will unfold and you'll see where Jonah came from, which tells us that he was from Geth Hefer, and that he was a prophet during the reign of the Israelite king Jeroboam II in the 8th century BCE. This came from reading the Old Testament, an introduction to the Hebrew Bible, the second edition that we quoted. Now that's what a lot of people out there think. Could this thing have really happened? And why is he so much different than all the other prophetic writers in the scriptures? Well, you might think about that for a moment, but let's dig into it a little deeper. First of all, Jonah was sent by God to preach repentance to the inhabitants of Nineveh. And the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me, in Jonah 1, 1 and 2. Now, what is the connection between the message of Jonah? The message of Jonah was repentance, and the experience of Jonah is the resurrection. Now, Jonah experienced both a repentance and a resurrection. Jesus provided the official means of repentance by his death and burial. The plan of salvation is completed by his resurrection. Now, some might read that book and say, well, how do we know that it really did happen? Well, I'll take the word of Jesus. That's what I'll take. And I'll stand on his promises. That what Jonah did exactly is the way that it happened. And it was for a reason. And here's the reason why. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Luke chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. And then Jesus on another occasion said this, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And he's here tonight too. Matthew 12, 38 and 45. Well, folks, the proof is in the pudding. I believe the words of Jesus, and that's good enough for me. Although scoffers may claim that this account of Jonah could just not have happened, the Bible says all things are possible with God and confirmed by Jesus Christ, Mark 10 and 27. Now, what is the New Testament comparison between Jonah and the resurrection? The sign of the prophet Jonas. Well, you see, the fish couldn't eat Jonah. You say, well, he swallowed him. Yeah, he couldn't digest him, though. And the earth, well, it was the earth that Jesus created. Couldn't eat him up either. Had power over it. You see, Jonah was vomited out of the belly of the fish, the whale. The big fish could not digest the little man. The Hades or the sepulcher could not contain the omnipotent Christ, because he is life, and death could not hold him. Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it," death, "was not possible that it should be holden." And the Greek holding there means to lay hold on or retain of it. Just couldn't keep him in there. Couldn't do it, because he's all-powerful God. Now, the significance of the 3 days, the three nights, why wasn't it just one day? Why wasn't it a week or 1 month or one or more years? It's all possible with God if that's the way he wanted it. That's not the way he wanted it. Jesus in the grave 3 days and three nights harmonizes with the Old Testament account of Jonah. That's all you can add to that. There have been many people over the years that did not understand the significance of Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Jesus used it to help portray his mission and give the account of Jonah divine meaning. Now, as we look at the Old Testament foreshadowing of Christ and his church and their fulfillment, I just kind of scratched the surface of this, and I really didn't want to get into Brother Roark's lesson, but it all just kind of went together throughout this series of lessons, and I'm glad it did. But you see, the Old Testament foreshadowing of Christ and his church and their fulfillment, first of all, we have to recognize Jonah. He's a Jew. He's a Hebrew. And he was sent to preach to the Ninevites, which are Gentiles. Jonah resisted the commandment to God to preach to the Gentile city, and he fled to Tarshish. God, in his infinite foreknowledge, knew that Jonah was what he was attempting to do, and prepared the whale to swallow him and convince him to accomplish his mission, the mission that he sent him to do. And he miraculously brought him up out of there. Now, The entire account can be seen as a foreshadow of how Jesus Christ meshed both Jew and Gentile to the extent the establishment of the greatest institution on this earth, the church. A certain man by the name of Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a Gentile, was praying and God in a vision informed him to send the Apostle Peter, a Jew, to come and preach to his household. Peter came and preached to them, pointing out that God was no respecter of persons and how he was sent to preach the gospel, which included the resurrection of Christ. Something very special happened when Peter preached these words. Listen to what it says. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 10, 44 and 45. These same Gentiles were granted scriptural baptism from Jerusalem and received the extended arm of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go back and read that in more detail in both the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. The good news spread back to the apostles and the brethren in Judea, for which they rejoiced at the wonderful work of the Lord. When the news made it back to Jerusalem, the Grecians were preaching the Lord Jesus. They rejoiced and sent for Barnabas as far as Antioch. And they heard that there was some Christ-like folks there called Christians. And thus the missionary spirit advanced the gospel that even made it to this new world that we stand on now. Thank God for that missionary effort that allowed the church to be spread even to America. Something else I want you to notice also. The cedars of Lebanon in the Old Testament, they were floated to Joppa. And if you look at 2 Chronicles 2 and 16, you'll see that. And a lot of people relate how that the church was established and how Jesus took those that were baptized by John the Baptist and put together his church. And I want you to see the connection. You see, Joppa is also known as the city of Jonah. Also, you'll see that the temple compared to the church in Ezra 3 and 7. And we'll see more of that concerning Jonah. Something else, Peter's vision. Do you know where he had his vision? City of Jonah, right there in Joppa. Went all together. The city of Jonah in Acts 10, 5, and 6, that's where he was, the same place that Jonah came from as well. Now, we'll look at some other Old Testament teachings of the resurrection. I apologize for having to just go hurriedly through this, but take the outline and study it even more, and I believe that you'll glean even more than I've tried to bring out tonight. You see, this is Old Testament teachings of the resurrection. Jonah wasn't the only Old Testament teaching of the resurrection, although it was what my lesson was tonight. One of my most favorite Bible accounts happened when Abraham was offering of Isaac at Jehovah Jireh, which means it shall be provided. In Genesis 22 and 1 through 14, we find that account. And it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Genesis 22 and 5. This statement implies that Abraham and Isaac displayed obedience by ascending to one of the mounts of Moriah that God had selected to worship Yahweh. This was to be displayed by the very act of the sacrificial death offering of his promised messianic son, Isaac. Yet Abraham proclaimed that both Isaac and he would return to the young men when they went up there. The Bible says, "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I just wonder what would be seen. Could it be the prophetic view of the resurrection of Christ, the only begotten Son of God? Well, the New Testament has the proof. And we find by the authoritarian author of the book of the Hebrews, it says this, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, Hebrews 11:17-19. So what I'm trying to let you all know is that in the Old Testament, they believe in a future resurrection. They had evidence of those that believe. Abraham believed that God had the ability and would raise his son up because he had already promised him that that would be the son that the lineage of Christ would come through. We have another example. Can you just imagine in the Old Testament how these mothers and fathers would explain to their children these accounts of Jonah and Abraham taking up Isaac up to Mount Moriah? But then I can see him gathering them around and said, let me tell you what Ezekiel says concerning the resurrection. We find in Ezekiel's army he had a valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37:1-14. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Ezekiel and showed him a valley of dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel a question. He said, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Ezekiel 37:3. Ezekiel was instructed to prophesy, utter or send forth the words God gave him to say to the dead bones. Much in the same way as God called men are to preach the gospel, including the resurrection. You know, I believe we do a really good job of preaching about the death of Christ, but don't leave him in the grave. He resurrected that third day. That completes the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Because of that resurrection, oh, I'm looking forward to going home. We see here that the Spirit of God resurrected the valley of dry bones. In addition, we also notice that the Lord said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord, Ezekiel 37:13-14. When this account is compared to Matthew 12:43-44, we see from the words of Jesus that the valley of dry bones is similar to a dead man in trespass and sin. When the preaching of the gospel is heard and repentance is acted upon by the lost sinner, a miraculous resurrection takes place within the soul of a man, much in the same way that the picture of Jonah was when he came out. He prayed from that whale's belly. And I have to be careful because I'm getting tongue-tied. Now, the significance of his name. Jonah is a dove in relationship to Noah and the doves in Genesis 8:6. I'll let you read all that. I'll just go ahead and read it. I think I can get it in. The name of Jonah is translated a dove. The raven did not bring the message back to Noah, but the dove brought the message of new life and the olive leaf. Jonah was sent to bring a message to the people of Nineveh, for which they repented. And thank God they did. Before he brought that message, he experienced a resurrection and lived to tell it. Jonah did. Jesus used both messages to explain his resurrection. The same resurrection he explained to Martha when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 11:25-26. In conclusion tonight, Jesus has always exceeded the expectations of the Old Testament prophets, types, and shadows. Thank God for the resurrection of Christ. In closing, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came upon the sepulchre, bringing the spices with them they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified the third day and rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. Luke 24:1-9. But folks, that's not the end. Close your eyes for just a minute. Envision all those scripturally baptized bodies resurrected. And then look at what John the Revelator saw. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, the church, adorned for her husband. Revelations 21 and 2. None other than the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for listening tonight. Amen. At the end of this discussion, or there's a figure, there's a map that you'll find, and it kind of outlines Jonah and his journey there that he took, and that's in the notes as well for you to use. Thank you for listening tonight.